Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 27. Takshakad Atmano Mrityum Dvija Putro Pasarjitat Prapatsyata Upashrutya Mukta Sangaf Padang Harehe. Translation. This is referring to Maharaj Parikshit. After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by the son of a brahmana, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him. Purport. Material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. Material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness under the shelter of the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord, and when it is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachment and becomes competent to go back home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit, being especially attached to the Lord from the beginning of his body in the womb of his mother, was continuously under the shelter of the Lord, and the so-called warning of his death within 7 days from the date of the curse by the brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could have avoided the effect of such a curse by the grace of the Lord, but he did not take such undue advantage for nothing. Rather, he made the best use of a bad bargain. For 7 days continuously, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source, and thus he got shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord by that opportunity. Here it is stated that Parikshit Maharaj will get freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead. Now, the way it's stated, it sounds like something very easy. Just like you might ask someone, well, what are you going to do today? And he may reply, well, I'm going to get free of all my material attachments. You're smiling. Yes, it was intended as a joke, because it's not such an easy thing to get free from material attachments. But it's stated in this way, in a straightforward manner, which might suggest that it's very easy to get free from material attachments. And in Shastra we find that often it's stated that it's very easy to become Krishna conscious. Anayashe bhavakoi Krishna shivan e Krishna name pai eto dhan. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that very easily one can get, one can diminish one's material existence. One can be finished with material existence and attain the service of Krishna. How? By chanting the name of Krishna once, a Krishna name, one can attain such a boon. Of course, a Krishna name could mean that concentrating only on the name of Krishna, but normally it would be taken to mean chanting once only the name of Krishna. Krishna mantra hoite hobe shongshamo chan Krishna nam hoite pabe Krishna charan. By chanting that Krishna mantra, one gets released from material existence, and by chanting the name of Krishna, one attains the lotus feet of Krishna. So it makes it sound very easy. Srila Prabhupada also would emphasize that Krishna consciousness is very easy. He gave a formula, 16 plus 4 equals BTG. Srila Prabhupada assured that if we chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, then we'll go back to Godhead. In Gita also, Krishna says, I'll backtrack a bit first. It's stated to be very easy, but we don't find it so easy. Just like the idea that today I'll get free from material attachments. What are you going to do today? Today I'm going to get... Well, I think I'll get free of material attachments. It's not such an easy thing. Because Maya is very strong. Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Maya is very powerful and is very difficult to get free from, even if we want to be free from bad thoughts and even bad activities. It may be very difficult to do so, as Arjuna expressed in question to Krishna. Atachain, what is that? Papam charati purusha. Atachain, Api chet, Atachaiva prayukto yam papam charati purusha. Anichan api varshnaya balad eva niyojitaha. Arjuna asked, why is it that even if we don't want to, we sometimes perform sinful activities as if forced to do so? To which Krishna replied, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhavaha mahashana mahapama vidhyena meha vairanam. Krishna said that it is due to lust and anger, lust which transforms into wrath, which is born of the mode of passion, and which is our enemy. So karma here doesn't mean, it can mean a specific material desire, but it means the whole general attitude of material desire, which is opposite to that of love of Krishna. Love of Krishna is pure, and non-love of Krishna is impure. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is called kam, or material desire. Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses is called prema. So, why can't we just shift from one to the other? We hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we discuss the topics, we understand what is what, we understand that we should not be entangled in material desire. That material desire, it produces suffering. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonya evate adyanta vanta kauntaya na teshu ramate buddhaha. Material desire leads to material activity, activities performed for sense gratification, which simply produce suffering. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take part in them. So that's one factor. And a worse factor is that material desire blocks love of Krishna, because Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Aradika. Krishna is like the sun. Where there is the sun, there is no darkness. So in the same way, where there is no Krishna consciousness, then there is Maya. So Krishna consciousness means prema, and Maya means karma. So having understood this, then we should give it up with intelligence, as Krishna recommends also in Bhagavad Gita, that knowing that one should use one's intelligence to give up lust. But it seems not to be so easy. Why not? It should be that, okay, all right, now I understood. This material desire is very bad, material attachment is very bad, and Krishna consciousness is what I really want. And so, okay, today I'm giving up material attachment, giving up material desires. But it doesn't work like that, we find. Therefore, we're given the process of sadhana bhakti for gradual purification, because due to material attachment, which means not only attachment to griha, kshetra, sutapta, vitaya, these are the common objects of material attachment. One's home, family, country, possessions, these are the objects to which one is materially attached. But there is the whole ethos, or the whole mentality, that's a better word, the whole mentality of being attached to the concept of enjoying in this material world. So we've had this for many, many, we've been in this consciousness for many, many lifetimes. It's a diseased way of thinking, but we're so accustomed to it that we take it as normal. Therefore, we need training to come to the proper position of Krishna consciousness, to revive our Krishna consciousness. Now, we might think that, well, if it seems like it's normal to be in material consciousness, of desiring material enjoyment, then maybe it is normal. And if it's a struggle to be Krishna conscious, then maybe Krishna conscious is illusion. Krishna conscious is Maya, and what we call Maya is real. It might seem to be like that. Well, that's not true, because the result of acting following material desires is suffering, and we don't desire suffering, so it's unnatural to be in a suffering condition. It's natural to be happy. Happiness is in Krishna consciousness. We do experience happiness in Krishna consciousness. When I say we're struggling, we all experience that it's a struggle to be in Krishna consciousness, but we also do experience that when we are in Krishna consciousness, actually thinking of how to serve Krishna, that we do experience happiness, and that happiness is not the happiness of that is derived from material enjoyment, which is always mixed with frustration and many other kinds of sufferings. So it's qualitatively different, the happiness of Krishna consciousness, from that of Maya. So although it might seem natural to be in Maya, and somewhat of a struggle to be in Krishna consciousness, we should understand that it's natural to be in Krishna consciousness and not in Maya. An example can be given of someone who, let's say, they lose the power of eyesight for some reason or other. They can see, and then due to some reason or other, they lose their power of eyesight. And then they become accustomed to not seeing. It becomes normal for them. Say if they have a cataract. So they can see, then they can't see because of the cataract. And then if they have a cataract operation, then again they can see. But in the beginning, it might take some time to adjust. Or maybe a better example is if someone has their right arm in a crutch, that's called, what's that called? That sling? No, there's something else. I can't remember the word just now. It's in a sling? Yeah, okay. Let's say a sling. Just trying to remember the word. I can't remember. So he might be like that for a few weeks, and he gets used to being in that situation of not using it. And then when that's removed, that covering, which is made of plaster of Paris, which I'm just trying to remember the name of, then it seems unnatural for him. Actually, it's natural, but he's got so used to not using that right arm, then he'll be writing with his left hand and doing all the functions that he'd normally do with his right hand, he'll do with his left hand, or maybe with some other limb, or maybe not do it at all. And so it'll take some time, and the right hand will be somewhat dystrophied. It won't have any proper strength or movement. So he has to do exercises to bring it back to normal use. The fingers won't move properly. So it may seem unnatural and difficult for him to use the right hand. But he has to practice, and then it'll just come back to normal. And it will seem normal. So, in the same way, it is natural for us to be Krishna conscious, but we're just so used to not being Krishna conscious that it seems unnatural to us. It might seem unnatural to us. Therefore, we have to practice sadhana. Srila Prabhupada writes here, devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord. And when it is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachments and becomes competent to go back home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit said he got free from material attachments, but he didn't really have that many material attachments. Even what he didn't have much. Well, in one sense, he had a lot of material attachments because he was the emperor of the whole world. But in another sense, in one sense, he had a lot of attachments because he has a lot of properties and position and prestige and servants. So, in terms of quantity, he had far more material attachments than most people in this world. But in terms of quality, he didn't have any material attachments, or just a semblance of material attachments, because from the very beginning, he was a great devotee of Krishna. So it might have appeared that he had attachments, but at most it was a semblance. So he was very easily able to shake that off. For us, it's a different story. We don't have much in this world, but we have the desire to enjoy it. That desire is very strong. So for us, just to say, okay, now I'm not going to be in Maya anymore, well, it doesn't work so easily. Therefore, we have to practice sadhana. The process of purification that comes about by sadhana is, there are various analogies given concerning that. One is that of putting an iron rod into fire, by which it, after some time, it becomes so much hot that it acts just like fire. If you put your hand in the fire, it will burn. If you touch your hand to an iron rod which has been held in the fire for some time, it will burn. So it attains the same quality by proximity. So in the same way, by putting ourselves in the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, by hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna in the association of devotees, we take on the quality of Krishna. Not in the same way as Krishna, not that we become Krishna, but we become fully spiritualized as is Krishna. We become Krishna conscious. So it is easy to be Krishna conscious. It is easy to get free of material attachments by Krishna conscious. It is easy because the process is very easy. And Krishna helps. Srinvatang swakata krishnam punya shavana kirtana hridyantasto hi abhadrani vidhunoti suhrit satam. Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, and he is the best friend of everyone, especially the pure devotees, he helps the devotee by cleansing his heart if the devotee simply applies himself to hearing the messages of Krishna as given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tejam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. For those who are constantly engaged in devotional service, Krishna says, engaged with love, it means they're sincere, they're not doing it for any material motive. Krishna says, I help them by giving them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna, within everyone's heart, gives knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So, if we're cultivating it sincerely, a desire to remember Krishna, Krishna will help us, and help us to forget our material attachments also. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very easy for overcoming material attachments because Krishna helps. Whereas in other processes, well, Krishna helps everyone. If someone wants to be a big demon, Krishna will help to be a big demon also. But in other processes like karma, jnana, and yoga, because the aim is not Krishna himself, although Krishna helps the karmi, the jnani, and the yogi to fulfill their desired goals. Krishna, he's not so enthusiastic to help them as he is to help his devotee come to him. And the process is also very easy in devotional service. Patrang pushpang palang toyang yome bhakta prayachati tadahang bhakti paharitamashnami prayatamanaha. Simply if one offers with some love the leaf, flower, fruit and water, some simple things, Krishna will accept that. Whereas in karma, in the process of karma kanda, one also offers to Vishnu through the sacrificial fire, but there are so many rules and regulations to follow, and one has to make gorgeous offerings, especially in public sacrifices. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very easy because there are no difficult austerities, no difficult rituals, no complex philosophy to understand. Of course, devotees, for the sake of preaching, they may have to understand the complex philosophies of others so they can debunk them, but basically the understanding of Krishna consciousness is very simple. So in that way it's easy, and another way it's easy because Krishna is very eager to help the devotee who is sincerely trying to come to him. But on the other hand, we don't experience it as easy because Maya is formidable. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Maya is very difficult to overcome. This is our practical experience. Maya covers every ya sa mohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Maya keeps everyone in illusion. That is called her there is the prakshay, there is the prakshay kapmika priti, and the what's the other avaranatmika priti of Maya? She covers everyone, and if someone tries to come out of that covering, then prakshepatmika, she has the potency of throwing back. She goes into overdrive to throw back those who are trying to escape from her clutches. But Krishna says, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. If one surrenders unto me, then one can easily cross over Maya. But then we may say, well, it seems like a conundrum, because we want to surrender to Krishna, and if we surrender to Krishna, then we'll get out of Maya. But because we're in Maya, we don't surrender to Krishna. So where do you go? We're trapped. No. Krishna says, Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. The surrendering process begins with diksha. When that means the firm commitment that I want to surrender to Krishna. Atma samarpan. That offering oneself to Krishna. Meantime, Maya is pulling us from all other directions, but we just have to stick close to Krishna, which we do so by following the instructions given by the Guru. Diksha means to accept initiation from a Guru. The Guru gives instructions which are given by Krishna. So in that way, the Guru is said to be non-different from Krishna, because he gives the same instructions. Therefore, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The Guru and Krishna together, Krishna by his instructions, which are relayed by the Guru, by the Krishna as the Guru within the heart, gives one this strength and the intelligence to stick to this process. So in this sense also, it is easy, but we have to be sincere. We have to make the commitment to surrender to Krishna. We can't, if we think we'll have the best of both worlds, that means we don't understand what is Krishna consciousness at all, because there's no best in the material world. There's wet stool and dry stool. It's all stool. We may think, well, being in heaven is better than being in hell, but it's like the difference between wet stool and dry stool. It's all contaminating. We may say, well, dry stool doesn't smell as bad as wet stool, but it's all stool. It's all contaminating. So, atma samarpan, and then the process of sadhana begins. We find in the 64 processes of bhakti under vaidhi, and under sadhana, the first is that one should accept shelter of a guru, atah guru vashra, and then Krishna diksha anu shikshanam, then one should take initiation and instruction from the guru. It's not that, well, we're supposed to take initiation, okay, I'll find someone to take initiation. We're supposed to take instruction also. Then the process of diksha becomes complete. So we can get freed from material attachments. Krishna gives us a process. We do find it to be difficult. Therefore, our effort is required. Srila Prabhupada writes in one place about painstaking efforts in devotional service. Painstaking. I mean, we have to take some trouble. Kashta na kole keshta milibena, as is said in Bengali. Without accepting trouble, some difficulty, we won't attain to Krishna. So we can attain Krishna, but Although Krishna consciousness is very easy and very blissful, it may seem very troublesome also. Just like, again, if we're recovering from a disease or we're recovering the use of a hand that's been in a cast, that's what it's called, in a cast for several weeks, then it may seem difficult and troublesome, but it's required that difficulty and trouble we have to go through if we to recover the use of the hand. So we may say, well, why does Krishna make it so difficult and troublesome? It's not that Krishna makes it difficult and troublesome, but we experience it like that due to our residual attachments, due to our residual desire to enjoy in this world. But we have to have the determination to go on with that and to accept those troubles. We see here in the Bhagavatam, there are the narrations of a few of the many, many devotees who have become Krishna conscious or who have exhibited the qualities of pure devotees in this world. In Gita, Krishna says, Bahavo jnana tapasa putamad bhavamagataha. Krishna says that many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me and by tapasya, by accepting difficulty, accepting austerity, and they came to me. So the number of devotees that are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam are not very many, but we see that they all accepted some difficulty in the service of Krishna. Just like Purushit Maharaj, he accepts the bite of the snake bird. He didn't have to, but he did. You may say, well, it is not a big thing for him because he's a pure devotee. That's true, but still he accepted it. That's an example for us that we have to accept some difficulty. You may say, well, why does Krishna put his devotees, again, why does Krishna put his devotees through difficulties? But that helps to purify, that helps us to take Krishna consciousness very seriously and to become free from our material attachments. Without accepting that difficulty, it's very difficult to become free from material attachments. We have to choose whether we want our desire to be. We have to choose what we want to desire. Krishna doesn't program us like some robot to love him. We have to choose, and in making that choice, because we have long-standing attachment to material enjoyment, then it may seem difficult for us to choose otherwise, but that is required. The difficulty comes from our own perverse mentality, which we have to overcome by acting in Krishna consciousness. So, anayase bhavakoi Krishna shevan, a Krishna name pai etadon. By chanting Krishna's name even once, one can very easily get free from material existence, and one can attain to the service of Krishna. That's true, but it may not be an immediate process, that just we go from a state of material attachment to a state of pure spiritual attachment in 1 second. It generally doesn't act like that. Actually, it is very quick, because if we consider that many persons over a long period of time they came to Krishna consciousness, that seems to be the normal or standard process. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavang mang prabhadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahat vasudulava. The general process is to, after many, many births, for the jnanis, those who are persons who are serious about spiritual life, but who somehow or other they're not being particularly attracted to Krishna, somehow or other, means by their own bad desire. Ultimately, it may also mean due to not having association of devotees. After many, many births, they may come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the process by which we can do this very quickly. So it may seem like a long and difficult process to us, but it's really, although we experience difficulty in overcoming material attachments, it's really not a difficult process compared to that of we hear about the prachetas performing 10,000 years of austerities. We can't even imagine. We can hardly perform 10 minutes of any austerity. What to speak of 10,000 years. So actually the process is very easy and quick and effective. And it works. Effective, but we have to apply ourselves to it very seriously, and we have to be prepared to accept some difficulty in Krishna's service. It may even be we have that cast on the arm and we become so accustomed to it that we feel when the doctor comes to take it off, we may feel, oh, what are you doing? Come on. Now I'm comfortable with that. Why don't you just leave it like that? We get so accustomed to having the cast on our arm that we may not even want to have it taken off. Or when it's taken off, and the hand and the forearm is free to move, we may think, it was better as it was before. At first we may think like that, but then we have to exercise it and gradually bring it back to proper use, and then we come to a proper natural position. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? If one has the desire for what? You said even if one has the desire to get free from material attachment, still it's difficult to get out. Question? What's the question? Why? The whole class was about that. If you want, you can take the recording and listen to it again.
Even if one has the desire to get out?
Yeah. Yeah, you're asking the same question again, and I'll give the same answer again. Yeah. How does the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, how does it manifest? Krishna giving the intelligence by which... that may manifest in various ways in different devotees' lives. It may manifest as the inspiration, let me go and take association of this devotee, for instance. Let me... give up this bad habit that I have. May manifest in various ways. Inspiration to become Krishna conscious. Let me chant more seriously. And so on. I didn't say it's difficult to have best of both worlds. I said it's a wrong idea to even think there is anything good in this material world. Some devotees like Chitraketu, Kadamuni, and Dhruv Maharaj, they seem to have such a propensity as wanting best of both worlds. But you'll find in the narration of Dhruva Maharaj in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he said that we shouldn't cultivate such an aspiration, because then we'll have to lament as Dhruva Maharaj lamented for maintaining material desires while performing devotional service. Because then Krishna fulfilled, and then afterwards he thought, oh, but how foolish I was to cultivate such desires. Also, by if we want to cultivate material desires at the same time as Krishna conscious desires, then generally our progress is going to be very slow, and there's very serious danger that we might just capitulate and fall completely into material life. So it's not at all a good idea to cultivate material desires and spiritual desires at the same time. One cannot properly cultivate spiritual desires if one is cultivating material desires. Srila Prabhupada often says, even if you have material desires, then if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, then you can become purified. He often says that. But then he also often says that cultivation of material desires is an obstacle in Krishna consciousness, which it is. Krishna consciousness ultimately is stronger, but it's a risk trying to cultivate both at the same time. Ultimately, one has to come to the point of becoming akama, not sarvakama, free of material desires instead of full of them. So, although Srila Prabhupada writes, and although it's stated in the Bhagavatam, that one can attain the Krishna consciousness if one practices Krishna consciousness even with material desires, that's true, and otherwise hardly anyone would be able to take up Krishna consciousness in this material world anyway, because we all have so many material desires. At the same time, we should understand those desires are an obstacle in our progress in devotional service. And taking up Krishna consciousness means listening, hearing regularly the fact that material desires are not in our self-interest and they block Krishna consciousness. That's off subject. I'm not going to discuss it now. Initially, if people are preached to, if you have material desires, still you take to Krishna consciousness. It's not incorrect, but at the same time, we don't encourage them to go on with their material desires. That's not the ultimate platform. We don't go out to people and say, go on cultivating your material desires. But we may not say, give up everything immediately. We may also not do that. As I just said, people should apply themselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, a large part of which is, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see there's a lot of discussion about how we have to get free from material attachments. So that's part of the process. Though people with material desires may take to Krishna consciousness, and we may not tell them to immediately